night at one of Denton Hall. We've not been here for 2 years. Good evening.
Good evening.
Lovely. Nice to see you. See you. Nice. I might get that joke with my surname. But it's good to see you all. I might sit down. I might stand up. I'll see how I feel as we go along tonight. I feel like a bit of a boy band vibe. I've always wanted to be a boy band. I never want to, but I'm not going to be. My voice can't stand it. But nevertheless, it's lovely to see you tonight. And it's just a privilege for me to be able to come and share God's word with you in the next few days. And what I want to do, right out of the gate, right at the very beginning, I can see some of you have got some notepads with you, which is brilliant. Some of you may have your phones with you, take notes, whatever it is, you need to take notes. Write this down. If you didn't get nothing else from what I say in the next 4 days, right, write this down, take this on board, live this out, right, and then you can switch off the rest of it, okay? No, don't, please don't. I have prepared. No, there's these three words. Your life matters. Your life matters. I want you to turn to your neighbour, turn to someone next to you, and say to them, your life matters. Lovely. Now turn to your second choice, the other neighbour that you didn't choose. Do they smell? Your life matters. Your life matters. You see, for us, the reason why we entitled this whole next few days shift is because, put it this way, if you want to leave footprints in the sands of time, you're going to have to wear work boots. That might not make sense, but hopefully by the end of these next 4 days, that phrase might make sense. Because the truth is, and this is the exciting thing about our lives, is that everything is intentional. Life is intentional. And here's something even more important. Here's something that I've realised now, or children in particular. The one thing that I don't own, and no one else owns, that's only yours, is your will. Is your will. Now, I might seem like I have some sort of level of control over my children, but truth be told, deep down, there's a certain level of choice that they can exercise, truth if they really want to. The same goes for each one of you. Life is full of choices. Exciting choices. Difficult choices, choices that maybe give a bit of fear for us, choices that maybe we don't want to make sometimes. But nevertheless, life is full of choices and opportunities. Life's not passive. We weren't designed to live our life simply on the stands. We're meant to engage and be active in our life. You see, here's a fun fact. When you're born, each one of you look like your parents at some point. Maybe you still look like your parents, even now. But here's the reality, though, for all of us. When we're born, we do look like our parents. But the sad truth is, when we pass away, we look like our decisions that we make in our lifetime. And see, the thing is, when I was coming to plan and prepare and pray, what is mine to bring to you? I put myself in your shoes. Because who's here is 11 or 12? Put your hand up. So I first came to Letton when I was 11 years old. Who's here is 13 or 14? I was that age here, sitting in this very room. Who's 15, 16? Again, I've been in this very drawing room. This is a guest speaker after guest speaker. Who's 17, 18? Yeah, sorry.
More
confident hands there. 17, 18, yeah. Yeah, put my jersey on. Who's older than 18?
Are you, man, not old?
Yeah, got life together, got all sorted. The reality is, one of the privileges I've had when I was growing up was coming here since the age of 11. And I realised how important these 4 days are and have been on my life. And I'm going to share in the next 4 days some of my own story, interweave with what I have to speak to you as I share some scripture. And truthfully, if I hadn't made the decisions that I made in my life when I was here, quite frankly, I wouldn't be standing here today speaking to you, nor would I have many countless things that I get to call blessings in my life. It was the decisions that I made, quite literally, where I sat there. Those decisions that I made, that was my will, me exercising my will, saying yes to things that God was encouraging me to do, that quite literally made a shift and a change in my life. And that's been my prayer. Now we're going to see that shift for each one of you, because truthfully, each one of you have amazing potential that's there, God-given to each and every single one of you. But let's go to our text. So if we get the Bible passage on the screen, we're going to camp out the next 4 days, quite literally, in this text. This is going to be our scripture reading. So you have to flip around the whole Bible. Literally, we're going to stay most of the time at this text the next 4 sessions, because it's so impactful. And we find that text in 1 Kings, that's the Old Testament. 1 Kings, chapter 2. Go to your contest. Find where 1 Kings is. Go past chapter 1. Find chapter 2. Go find verse 1. And what I'd encourage you to do is put a little folder in the top or kind of bookmark. We're going to go there every single night, every single day. We're going to read it every time. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a little contest, should we get there faster? Wave at me when you found it. Ooh, lovely, lots of waves. Not everyone though. Keep waving at me once you've found it, wave at me. So I know you're waving. Yeah, good. Okay, I'm going to read it out for us. Hopefully you can still find it nevertheless. So let's hear God's scripture tonight. When the time drew near for David to die, bless you, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong. Not like a man, observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you may go. And that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how I live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail for a successor on the throne of Israel. So, picture the scene. King David, who's arguably one of the greatest rulers of all time, is there on his deathbed, quite literally. And he calls for his son to come and speak to him. And we're not told about all the little niceties that might have happened. Quite literally, we're told about King David cutting straight to the chase and giving some encouragement right at the end of his life. And there's something to be said, often chaplains who do a lot of hospital ministry, those who do end-of-life care, will say, in that moment when you're about to pass, that's when things almost become so crystal clear as it comes to wisdom and insight. And then we have 3 things that David speaks to his son to encourage him so that he may prosper. That word prosper is really important for our context right here, right now, because frankly, that's why I'm here. That's why I accepted the invitation to come and speak. Because my heart is for each one of you to prosper. I want you to prosper in all that you do, in all that you get ahead of your life, to prosper. So David encourages him on 3 things. And we're going to look at one of those things every single time we come together. And the first thing that we see tonight, David encourages his son Solomon. And it's an interesting word that he uses. He says, so be strong, act like a man. Which, to be honest, I would also say the strongest people I know are men. They're also women, I have to say. And observe what the Lord your God requires. In essence, what we find here in Scripture tonight is this decision that David is entrusting Solomon to make, which is this. Are you going to decide to live courageously? Are you going to decide to live courageously? Courage is what you need to be able to face those challenges, those difficult moments of what you're about to have as you take on the throne. And the reality is, David knew all about those difficult moments, and we'll get to that in a moment. You see, courage, we might think it's only for those who are gregarious, outgoing people. Actually, courage is for each and every single one of us. How many of you, here's a question, and you don't have to put your hands up to this one, maybe just kind of move a finger as a sign of kind of whether you agree or not. How many of you have been fearful in the last 2 years during this pandemic? Anyone? Through the finger? I'll put my hand up to that personally. Maybe, how many of you, you don't have to put your hands up or move anything. How many of you have been fearful in this last month? How many of you have been fearful in this last few days? Even, maybe in fact, even today. Maybe coming to this sort of gathering for the very first time after 2 years brought a certain amount of fear. You see, the thing is, courage, though, isn't just something that we can just conjure up. Isn't just something that we can just kind of go, oh, I'm going to be really courageous right now. You just can't do it. Courage is always, let me repeat that, courage is always produced by faith. Courage is always produced by faith. Sometimes, for us here, we believe courage is found in God, and faith in God, but often we can try to find courage from other things as well. How many of you have seen adverts where you see the Hugo Boss advert or the Lady Million advert, and they put on some nice perfume or some whatever it might be, and it makes them just really courageous and bold. But the reality is that scent's going to go, isn't it? Once you partied it a little bit more, once you kind of danced around, that scent isn't going to be on you anymore. And that courage that you thought that perfume might give you, it's probably going to go away, isn't it? And it's true for many things in this life, but it promises us courage, promises us boldness, promises us this picture of perfection. But actually the reality is often those things can waste away. But actually what we see is courage is produced by faith when we have something of a firm foundation. What we're singing about tonight was a firm foundation. That solid rock in Christ alone. My hope is found. You see, David knows about courage, doesn't he? Have you heard about the story of David and Goliath? I've got a picture of David and Goliath, I think, come up on the screen. Who remembers David and Goliath? Remember this, David and Goliath? No, it's probably not quite how it was pictured in the scripture, right? But there he is, Goliath, the Philistine, attacking the Israelites. And there David, the shepherd boy, takes on Goliath with a slingshot and takes him down. Now I won't go into the full story for us tonight for time's sake as well. And no doubt you've probably heard it at Sunday school or at another talk time before. But David was different, wasn't he? David didn't try to find courage from those things in the earth, or his sheep, or anything else. David took courage because he knew who he was in God. He knew who God had created him to be. Because one of the things that's often missed out in the story of David and Goliath is actually just before David would go to fight Goliath, David is there with his brothers. As with his brothers, he's anointed. And he knows that there in that moment, God is with him, and God will forever be with him. So when David takes on Goliath, he takes on Goliath not because he knows that he has it all together, but because he knows and trusts, emphasis on trust, in who God is. I love this quote that I found about courage. I'm still kind of reflecting on it myself, if I'm being truthful. Courage is the hallmark of spirituality. Courage comes when you love yourself for who you are. Courage is the hallmark of spirituality. Courage comes when you love yourself for who you are. I mean, the question really is, do you love who you are right now? You see, each one of us that we've already shared tonight have experienced that fear maybe in our lives. And what I can't promise is that we won't stop being fearful at times, and I can take all that away, but I wish I could. Trust me, I would if I could. But David's a helpful example, as he encourages his son to have courage. But actually, his confidence and courage to face Goliath came all because he knew of who God was and the promises that God has made. And those promises that were true for David are true for us. there for us. A God that is loving. A God that is caring. A God that is protecting. I want to share a story of real courage. It's a story that I read to my daughter not too long ago before bed. It's a story of a young girl called Ruby Bridges. If we could put a picture up on the screen, that'd be great. This picture was taken in 1960. Ruby Bridges attended a segregated kindergarten. I know that might not make too much sense, but that's kind of like a nursery in our context. In 1959, black kindergarten was segregated, meaning that she was not able to be with anyone other than those that looked like her at the time in her own experience. Racism was a lived reality every single day. And Ruby Bridges, along with six other children, had the opportunity to go to a school. And all the other parents declined. But Ruby Bridges' mum and father accepted her place to go to school, to William France Elementary School. And every single day, Ruby Bridges was faced with this very picture. Unimaginable scenes of hatred, of anger. Things that we could possibly not even begin to imagine happening on our own very own schoolroom. But Ruby Bridges, day after day, took immense courage. And what she would do with her mother before they go around the block to then have their police escort, they would pray together. That's this picture of them simply asking God to protect them and to give them the confidence to be able to do that walk into the school. Show the next picture. And this was the reality for her. This was her courageous step that she took. We might not experience what Ruby Bridges experienced, but each one of us has moments in our life where we have to delve into an experience that is going to be difficult. Each one of us has potentially before us moments where we have to exercise courage. But we have to decide tonight, are we going to be people of courage? Because imagine if Ruby Bridges and her mother stood up on that sidewalk in America around the block and said, not today. And let that angry mob win. My encouragement for each one of you tonight is this. There will be tough times, there will be difficult moments, but that charge from David to Solomon, so that we may prosper, so that we have life into its fullest, we need to have moments where we live courageously. And that's my challenge to you tonight. Are you going to live courageously? Because the impact that you can have, not only on your life, but the lives around you, your family's lives, your school lives, are monumental. If we would simply decide tonight to say, yes, I'm going to be courageous. Not because we have it all together, but because we've got a loving God that says, I love you who you are. I love you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you through the trial and tribulation, the difficult moments. So that mountain that you see ahead of you will pass. Will we decide tonight to live courageously, to make that shift in our life? As I said at the very beginning, I've kind of been in different moments and shoes, probably of some of yours in this space. And I remember one particular moment as it pertains to courage. Because the idea, if you told me when I was 15 years old that I would stand in front and be the main speaker at Leyton Hall, I would have probably puked, probably. so scared to stand up and talk, so fearful, that I remember actually sitting in my room and sitting in the worship and just, sorry, not to point you out, where you were sitting. I remember sitting there going, God, I just need some confidence. God, I just need you to kind of do something extra in me because I can't do it alone. I can't just use my voice. And ever since then, it's not been me, it's been God who's just been kind of pushing me into places where I would never have expected and I would never have asked to be. Just imagine if each one of us decided tonight to say yes to being courageous. That would have an amazing impact. I'd like to invite the band up now to come and lead us in some worship. And as they come up, I just want you just to think about those moments in these last 2 years, maybe in particular, where we felt fearful, or got nervous. Maybe we still hold those feelings now. So as we just worship, just really encourage you, you can stay seated, stand up, however you feel comfortable. As the band plays now, I want you just to take on all that I said right at the very beginning. Your life matters. What you decide to do with your own will in the next 4 days